Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, June 26, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. I'm here with Ava Atayer-Taylor, who's the executive secretary and be at the controls of the hearing today. So if we could please have some quiet in the audience so we get through some of this initial housekeeping, we'd be appreciated. So again, if I could have some quiet in the audience, thank you, while we go through this initial housekeeping. So first, some general information on the hearing today. The applicant and or property owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings necessary to justify a variance have been met, and more on that in just a second. The applicant should also submit their declaration and posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. And applicants or owners will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if any public comment in opposition was made for the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public, and at the end of the item, may either continue it to a later date or take action on the item today. There is currently one item on the consent calendar. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine and would otherwise be approved. If anyone would like to speak on the item, please step forward, otherwise the item would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and that does allow 3 minutes for each member of the public who would want to speak at that time. Now, criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued, and that decision letter will carry with it a 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. Due to the current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to be issued from the date of the hearing. And again, as noted, there's a 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. Other issues, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing, so please conduct any conversations out in the hall. While we do encourage parties to meet, it can be disruptive for while the proceedings are occurring. The next variance hearing is scheduled for July 24th. I will not be at that hearing. Dan Sider will be acting zoning administrator for the July 24th hearing. Audio recordings of variance hearings are going back to the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on our website as well under the agendas for the variance items. So now we can get to a couple of housekeeping items on the calendar. First, a item that requires continuance due to notification issues is the second to last item, which is 37 Walnut. So that's case number 2013.0392V for 37 Walnut Street. Is there anyone here that intends to speak on this item? I would assume not. I think the poster was up, but the mailed notice did not go out. So seeing that there's no one here to comment on that, we will, without having a public hearing, continue the item to July 24th, and that item will be re-noticed for hearing on July 24th. Second, I would like to know if the project sponsor for 200 Elsie Street is in the room. So here, thank you. Senator, you had maybe some illness. Did you?
Sick kid.
Oh, sick kid. We'll take your item first so you can get home to your child. So
correct,
that
right,
works.
Okay.
And then we can move on to the consent calendar. So we do have one item on consent, item number one, 385 Ivy Street. So we can read that one in.
Case number 2013.0369V, 385 Ivy Street, rear yard and open space variances sought.
Is there anyone here to speak on this item?
Yes.
Okay. So So are you a member of the public or are you the project sponsor?
I'm the architect.
Okay, so this is on consent, so if there's no member of the public to speak, this item would otherwise be granted. So seeing that there is no public comment on item number 1385 Ivy Street, I would close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance. And we can move on to our regular calendar. As noted, we will take item number 6 out of order and hear that one first for 200 Elsie Street.
Item number 6, case number 2013.0192V, 200 Elsie Street, rear yard variance sought. The sponsor of the project, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Is Jeffrey Spears not coming to the hearing?
No, so Steph does not attend the variance hearing, so it's just the project sponsor who presents the case.
So do you want me to just talk about the project, or do you have the findings already?
We have the file, so this is your turn to to basically restate your application and your arguments for why the variance should be granted.
Great. So I'm the architect. The project sponsor who lives in the house is out of the country, so I'm speaking on her behalf. But she came to me to permit a rebuild of a dilapidated deck in the rear yard of her house. She's in Bernal Heights, so as commonly found in some Bernal Heights lots, it's a small parcel with a regular-sized house that the house itself encroaches into the rear yard setback that would be required by code otherwise. So therefore, replacing the deck is not a permitted use without a variance, and that's why we're here today, is to replace the deck, but with changing the rise and run of the steps to what is code required from the building code, which requires a slight reconfiguration of the deck footprint. In general, though, it is in the same footprint that it had been for a long time. We spoke to all the neighbors that surrounded us. We're on a corner, so we literally do have one adjacent neighbor that has where the deck is visible. The other neighbors are out of sight, all supportive. I think that to date we have received some letters of support.
I have 3 letters of support
in
the file.
Right. Conducted the outreach. Nobody with concerns came to those. Again, it's a corner lot that doesn't have any impact on views or anybody else. So the hardship is that to rebuild the deck would not be required, period. And so there's an existing living space up above, a kitchen. There's a door. It's an exit to the rear yard, which is actually one of the main entrances into the house because the parking occurs often on the side street. And so replacing the deck is something that is a necessity for this house. Beyond that, if you want me to get into the 5 findings, I can, but we did write down the argument pretty succinctly for those in the application.
No, I think your presentation, it hits on the key points that it's an existing structure that's being replaced.
Right.
Would not otherwise be allowed to be replaced under the code. We're not aware of any complaints about the deck.
Right.
In fact, we have letters of support for the project. There are some slight changes to the stairs to accommodate building code issues,
code
compliance issues.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it remains largely unchanged from as it exists.
Largely, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
See, is there any public comment on this item? And again, we've taken item number 6 out of order, 200 Elsie Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on the item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item, which is item number 2.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 2, case number 2011. That's 0161V, 250 Urbano Drive, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm representing the project owner, Scott. Basically, what we try to do is to remove the drive garage in the front of the building to the rear of the building in conforming to the neighborhood patterns. So basically that will reconstruct the front of the building to match the existing streetscape. I will entertain any questions if there will be any. So thank you.
Thank you. So the garage, the proposed garage, will be accessed from the rear of the property, and that's an easement, right?
That's not a public right. General pattern. The easement. Okay. Existing easement. Yeah.
Existing easement. And there are other garages that are accessed from this easement as well.
Many. There's plenty of them there along the way.
And I understand the building itself is a Category A historic resource, a known historic resource. So.
They all pass through all those, yeah.
We'll be
the building permits had gone through the 311 notification.
Right, the 311 expired earlier this month, and there were no requests for discretionary review.
Right.
Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. On 250 Urbano, again, is there any public comment on item number two? This is 250 Urbano. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on the item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the building itself is a historic resource. The proposed garage, while in the required rear yard, would be accessed from a common or shared easement, which has other similar structures located off of the easement. Section 311 notice has already expired. No requests for discretionary review were filed. So we can move on to the next item, item number three.
Item number three, case number 2012.1338V, 2245 Webster Street, rear yard variance sought. Is this project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hi. This is Larissa Kim. I'm the architect on the project. The original intention on this variance was to extend the area square footage of the house into the existing side yard setback. What it does is, and the variance has to do with the rear yard, actually, the 25% requirement. The existing house is already well within that requirement. It's about 10 feet instead of about 17, and the extension into the side yard was kicking that in. We've since the drawings were submitted, we've been notified that we are meant to respond to a light well condition on the property next to us, and so the existing drawings that you have today do not show that response. But we do have an alternate plan here with us today that shows a light well response. It still does fill in that side yard about halfway up to the point of the light well, and that's sort of what we're trying to do.
Okay. Thank you.
It's about a 140-square-foot addition.
I know there had been some discussion with the adjacent property owner and about having them fill in the light well, which,
yes,
since it's within the rear yard, they would have to file a variance. And so is that going to continue, that possibility?
I don't think so. I think we're happy with the modification to this plan, and I have it if you want to see it.
Yeah, if you could hand it over, it would be great. Thank you. Thanks, Ava.
So the rear yard is about a 17-foot requirement. This addition actually is 19 feet from the rear yard property line, so it actually doesn't really kick into that rear yard requirement at all.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And again, we're on item number 2245 Webster Street. Seeing none, close the public hearing on this item.
Sorry.
For Webster.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Briefly, my name is Todd Davies, and I'm one of four owners of a condominium project directly in back of the subject property, and I came to convey that all of the four homeowners are supportive of this plan. So we're to the rear of it. We have the garages and two rooms that are separate from but part of my unit that we may want to develop in some way in the future, but so we don't want this to affect that, but we don't really see, since it's not changing the envelope of the current shed or in any other way really affecting us, that there's a problem with it. So so we're okay with it.
Thank you. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on the item unless there's any other public comment on item number 3, 2245 Webster. So seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance. subject to the modifications that were proposed today by the project sponsor on plans dated June 26, 2013. And I know that the residential design team had some concerns about the light well matching, so this is subject to their review and confirmation that it, but I believe this would address their concerns related to the light well matching. So with that, the variance is granted, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number four, case number 2013.0442V, 2748 Harrison Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of the project here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi. My name is Cameron Kane, and I think that last comment was for our project. However, the neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure okay. You can testify again. My name is Cameron Kane. I'm the owner of 2748 Harrison Street. Been a San Francisco small business owner for approximately the last 10 years. The impetus of this project was during a sidewalk beautification project whereby we cut squares out and we planted native SF plants. I was able to see one of the participants' backyard, 2905 and 2907 23rd Street, and they had rehabilitated their shed into an art studio. And I thought this would be a great, great thing to do for our property. So I started talking with neighbors. I didn't really have any objection. Had a lot of support on the project. And of course, as a mailing started going out, knocked on all the doors of anyone that was in the periphery of the project, could see the backyard, and has met with overwhelming support. The project is to rehabilitate a blighted shed to good use in the backyard, turn it into an art studio, an office, a workshop, and a bathroom to support a spa. The building does not have direct access to the street, a private or direct independent throughway. There seems to be a number of properties that have a rehabilitated shed in the back in the mission. Thank you very much for this consideration.
Thank you. So is there any public comment for this item, for 2748 Harrison Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Jonathan Ennis, 2750 Harrison Street. So we're a neighbor. I think I'm not exactly sure what the variance is being requested for this project, but I think it has to do with the possibility of the shed becoming a unit in the back.
So it's the fact that it's used as storage now and then converting it to habitable space is an intensification, and the structure shouldn't be there in the first place because it's in the rear yard. So that's why the variance is required. It's not and cannot be used as a separate dwelling unit, but it's going to be accessory living space, artist studio for the owners of the property.
Okay, so I'm here in support of that intensification of use. I think that just to be sure, there's no access from the street. It would never be used as a unit, but I think it is kind of falling down and dilapidated, and be great, frankly, for the health, safety, and welfare of all the people sharing that, all the backyards together, to have that structure not kind of rotting and falling down, but be renovated and be beautified. So it'll improve the use of it. It'll also improve the general beautification of the overview into the back. And as a neighbor, we'll be watching our neighbor and make sure that it's not used as a dwelling. And so I can't say anything else but total support for the project.
Thank you for your comments. Any other public comment on this item? Item number four, 2748 Harrison Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, I'm Todd Davies. I misspoke on the earlier item. I thought that was this item. So please strike my comments about the previous application. I own 1053B Treat Avenue. There are four units in that building. They're all condominiums. And again, I've spoken to the homeowners. All four units are in support of the application. We don't see a negative impact on our building, and I just wanted to convey that.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item, item number four? Seeing none, project sponsor, do you have anything to add? It's not really nothing to rebut there, I guess. So. All right, so with that, we'll close the public hearing on the item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I would note that the Section 311 notification expires on July 11th. To date, no discretionary views have been filed on the application. It's an existing legal non-complying structure that's being intensified by creating the habitable space, have a condition of approval that it should not and will, shall not be used as a separate dwelling unit, be limited to the accessory habitable space with one full bath. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2012.0759V, 33 Pierin Place and 2526 California Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic, sir. You have 5 minutes.
My architect, who's representing me, is on his way right now. If I could just wait until he comes.
Yeah, sure thing. We will hold this item over. I know that it may be difficult reaching City Hall today, so
perfect.
I'm happy to take this item, hold this item over, and we can move on to item number. Well, we've already
he'll be here
six.
Shortly. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So item number 6, case number 2013.0192V, 200 Elsie Street, has been moved earlier at the in the beginning of our hearing. So we're going to move to item number 7 now, case number 2013.0393V, 3844 Jackson Street, rear yard variance sought. The project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Scott Ballman. I'm the project sponsor for 3844 Jackson Street. The proposed deck is located in the rear of an atypical lot on Jackson Street. The last block of Jackson Street is bordered by the Presidio wall is not parallel to the urban grid, resulting in a triangular-shaped block. This condition results in a series of short lots that do not lend themselves to standard setback rules. The proposed deck is concealed behind the existing Presidio wall, is not visible from the walking path on the other side of the stone wall. The proposed project is flanked by property owners with atypical lots as well, and both have decks in their rear yard setback. And it's the deck is only visible from the property owner's home.
Thank you. And so you noted it's an atypical lot, so that although it's a fairly wide lot, I think this is at what we have here, 33 feet, almost 34 feet. The average lot depth is only around 80 feet.
That's
so,
correct.
So it is
yeah,
shorter.
So it's a short lot, and the existing home is already within that rear yard setback.
And it's an upsloping lot. So
slightly, yeah.
So it's, the height of the deck is only five feet
off, right? Off existing grade.
And had it been 3 feet or less, it would have been principally permitted.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, item number 7 for 3844 Jackson Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot conditions that do kind of restrict development, that it is a modest deck addition. Section 311 notification is out to notice that it expires on July 4th. To date, there have been no discretionary review requests filed. So again, public hearing is closed, inclined to grant. And we can move on to
item number 8.
Item number
case
eight.
Number 2013.0098V, 664 Douglas Street, rear yard variance sought. Project of the sponsor? Project sponsor for 664 Douglas? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Patrick Mora, architect. I am representing Mr. Vecchiaris and his family on this rear addition sought. The extension that we are requesting is an 8-foot extension of the kitchen. And the house has two nucleus. The living in the front, the kitchen in the back, divided by a study or bedroom in the middle. And this does not allow for them to enjoy their house. As Mr. Vecchiaris explained on his justification, the current plan is dated, built in 1800s, and non-functional for today's family. The plan will allow the kitchen living area for where they can safely monitor the two children in an open living space. This addition will not interfere with any visual impact, will not have any visual impact on the neighbors. They have a good greenery in the back that screens them from any visual impact, and the addition is only on the first floor, extending only 8 feet. Thank you.
Thank you. So you noted the existing living room is at the front, and it's not contiguous with the dining kitchen area. So the goal of the project is to have a larger eat-in kitchen. So
exactly,
where the family could gather. Yeah. What's the plan for the living room? Is still showing as a living room on the proposed plans. Is how will the function of that room change? Is it being used as a bedroom, or I mean, is there any plans for that to change?
No, it will not change. No.
All right. Well, let's see if there's any public comment on this item.
Thank you.
So going on to, item number 8 for 664 Douglas Street. Is there any public comment? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Albert Kessler. I'm a neighbor, and I'm appearing in support of the request. That's Noe Valley. We're very severely impacted by condominium developments. In the opinion of my family, we live the next block up and have lived there for 33 years, raised our children there. And we're very interested in the neighborhood to see the preservation of single-family homes, and we feel that this is an object case of that. It's a fine family. We know them well. They just had a new baby, and the question is, how do you fit a family into a Noe Valley house? And as far as we're concerned, it's a fairly simple answer. You have to do your best to accommodate it. We've known several neighbors who've had to move as a result of such crowdings, and the results have been condos. And we just want to see the preservation of that kind of balance that we've been used to for so many years in Noe Valley. So your consideration there would be appreciated.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item? Item number 8, 664 Douglas Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item. I think initially I was pretty skeptical about this because I did not see a dramatic change in the use of the space or the hardship finding. But I think the public testimony certainly is persuasive. Also, the architect noting that the existing configuration is really not useful for the property owners, and also the age of the building, and there's a significant front setback, I believe, of approximately 17 feet, which is really forced development at the rear here. So with that, I would be inclined to grant the requested variance. I would note that the Section 311 notification has expired, and there were no discretionary review requests that were filed on the application. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2012.0923V, 3820 24th Street, rear yard modification variance sought.
And so before the project sponsor speaks, I would want to note two things. First, this is one of two rear yard modifications that we have on the calendar today. The findings for these are different than the five findings that I stated at the beginning of the calendar for variances. So I think that's one important thing to note. The planning code does require a public hearing on it, and we join it with the variance hearing. The second is that this item was continued from last month's calendar, and we did that to address two things, and so I would like to focus on that today. There was a large amount of public testimony in support of the project, and there were several members of the public who spoke in opposition to the project last month. It was continued to allow accurate plans to be submitted. There seem to be some inaccuracies on the depiction of the adjacent building to the east and the features on that building. I did see revised plans were prepared for that. The second item was to try to address some concerns that were had by property owners behind Elizabeth that would address privacy concerns. And so keeping that in mind, if the project sponsors would present any kind of results of that discussions.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Reza Khoshnevisan, SIA Consulting. I'm going to just go shortly and talk about the discrepancy of the plans that we presented last time. Basically, this is the back of the building. Actually, the plan, we showed the grade and everything accurately. The heights and everything was in accordance with the survey map. We went to the site with the owners and the neighbors, and everybody agrees on this. So on this plan, all we did basically was that was missing on the last version was the fire escape ladder at the back and some of the fenestrations that you see here. And again, you know, this is the previous section that you saw, a little better illustrated. So having said that, I'm going to pass this to my client that has been involved with the neighborhood, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name's Brian Kendall. I'm here to hopefully finalize my request for a rear yard modification and have it approved. To recap, on May 22nd at the first hearing, I showed how the modification would go back 20 feet past the 75% line and would rise only 8 feet out of the ground as the lot slopes up, as shown in this drawing. I feel that because half the space is underground, that the modification would not significantly impact light, air, or views. I also showed that 11 of the 21 buildings in the block have legal but non-conforming rear yards, and 7 of these face 24th Street. Here you can see these items in pink. I am requesting this modification for a couple of reasons. One is that Noe Valley is without a hardware store, and I am in negotiations with Pappenhausen Hardware and West Portal. And they have sent you an email stating that they need at least 2,000 square feet or more. I would also like to have the modification because 75% of the commercial properties on 24th Street currently enjoy the right to use their backyards for commercial purposes. I, too, would like to have this benefit of using the backspace for commercial use. At the last hearing, you suggested that I meet with Susie and offer design ideas to address her privacy concerns. You also requested that my architect, Raisa, add more details to the plans. Finally, you inquired as to whether I had met with other neighbors on Elizabeth Street, which at the time I hadn't done. In the last month, I have fulfilled all three of your requests. A week after the hearing, Race and I met with Susie and Bob Coleman, as well as Julia Ponce and Wayne Yamamoto from next door. At the meeting, we looked at Race's revised plans as well as the blue painter's tape I put up on the side of the building to show where the roof and railing heights of the modifications would be. Here you can see the blue painter's tape that was put up, as well as the blue painter's tape. This shows the height of the ceiling height of the modification. We were all in agreement where the height of the modification was. We also took a letter to Julia's deck so that Susie and Bob could see what the view would be like 5 feet higher. Here is a view of her yard from the Ponce's deck. And then here is the view if I planted Susie 20-foot trees.
You could rotate that 90 degrees.
And the other side, Dave.
At the meeting, I offered 5 layers of privacy options. I offered to plant 20-foot, 36-inch box trees from Flora Grub Gardens on the border of Susie and Bob's yard. 2, I would build a solid 10-foot or higher fence. 3, set the deck back 5 feet. 4, add a 30-inch fence on top of the 42-inch railing to create a second 6-foot fence. 5, install a second layer of landscaping on the rear deck using 10-foot bamboo. You can see here what a 20-foot tree would be like in relation to her. Her building is about 20 feet, and then her roof goes up to 27 feet. And there's the 10-foot fence, the 6-foot fence, the 5-foot setback, and the 10-foot bamboo. No one at the meeting or since has brought forth any other suggestions for creating privacy. We left the meeting with the impression that the neighbors would mull over the options we presented and get back to us with their preferences. I sent an email on June 7th and a follow-up one on June 11th inviting my neighbors to let me know which options they preferred. Unfortunately, I have yet to have anyone accept any of these privacy options offered. As an aside, I want to point out that the first I had heard of any opposition to the modification was only in the final hours of the 312 notice, period.
So this is your time, is up, but
I'd
just like you to finish up with the results of, you have one question, the results of your emails. You had sent emails, and did you ever receive a response?
No, I'd never received a response. I had received a response from her. She stated in her response, which she CC'd you on, that she was shocked by the height of the building, which I found surprising because on her pictures that she showed at the May 22nd hearing, she had drawn lines and they actually were correct. So I was surprised that it was surprising to her. I sent another email again on June 11th, and then I never heard back.
At this point in time, are you willing to make modifications to the project? I mean, in terms of planting trees on her property, that's not something that we could include as part of a decision here because it's on another property. But setting back the railing, the 5 feet.
Yes, I welcome. My offer still stands. Just as an aside, I did go around to Elizabeth Street, and I went around and contacted all 21 property owners. All the property owners in green agreed with my modification request, and I have 6 emails here from 6 of the property owners who actually sent you emails last night and this morning agreeing with my modification.
And, so, and the one property to the east, we did receive a letter of opposition from them regarding shading on the on their deck. Have you had conversations with them?
I did. So Julia Ponce emailed me. She offered me 3 solutions of her own. One was to sink the entire building 5 feet into the ground. I responded back that that was impractical. She also suggested sinking the modification down and back an additional 5 feet, which was impractical. She has a rear yard. What I told her is she has a rear yard modification. She and her condo owners get to enjoy the benefit of having that modification.
So the height of your addition at the rear where it would impact their yard is only 8.5 feet above
it's
grade.
So here, I'll get back to this. So you can see here is the floor height, and then there's the 42-inch railing.
And so to the top of railing, what's the overall height there at the rear?
Then the overall height was above about, it was 42. It was about 6... It was about 5 feet, 5.5 feet. So it's a 30. It's a 30-inch solid railing, plus a 12-foot top, which is not included on the drawing. But there's an additional 12-foot top that's clear, and then the floor is about 8 inches above. The ceiling height is about 8 inches above her deck height there.
Okay. Thank you.
I also have pictures of her deck if you'd like to see because she was concerned about shadows.
I have photos from that they submitted.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to add, though,
that's time. Okay. Thank you. There will be a rebuttal.
I'll go over that in the rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So any members of the public to speak on this item, on item number 938-20 24th Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. So last month I was here and listened to the opposition. And as I stated last month, my residence is on 3829 24th. I've been on that block for 15 years. Initially, when I was concerned about the development of the empty lot, I approached Brian, and he was more than happy to go over the plans with me and kind of try to dilute the concerns of the neighbors in terms of the development. And after we all spoke, the only issue that I seemed that came across was the privacy issue. And over the last month, I've spoken with a bunch of neighbors in that neighborhood. And I know that they all support the development of the empty lot. It benefits the neighborhood and the local economy. And also, too, I just, on a personal note, if I may, having been in San Francisco for 24 years, I hope that, you know, and right now it's a dream that I would be able to own a piece of property in San Francisco. And I hope that someday an individual builder, such as Brian, who wants to develop this lot, I really hope that I can work with someone like that that really is concerned about the neighborhood, about the quality of the development, and what he would be able to provide for the residents of the building that he wants to develop. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public for item number 938-20 24th Street.
also have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Hello, my name is AJ Long. I'm here to support Mr. Kendall's request for a rear yard modification. I live across the street from the project, and I work there as well on 24th Street. Mr. Kendall and I met when he was doing outreach to the community. I was very impressed that he was going door-to-door on 24th Street to talk to members of the community to educate them on his project and what a rear yard modification was. I've been involved in my neighborhood community group for a few years now, and I've seen other projects come through our neighborhood. I can honestly say that I've never seen that kind of effort made by a builder to build consensus for a project before. Brian and I spoke for a while, and he showed me the plans and how he believed he met all of the qualifications for a rear yard variance. I am convinced that he does meet the qualifications for granting the modification. I do not believe that it will significantly block any views, light, or air. I hope you approve the request. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public speak, please.
You also have 3 minutes,
Hi.
Sir.
My name is Emerson Stone. I live across from the project with AJ. I'm also here to support Mr. Kendall's proposal. I think, as far as I understand, he meets all the qualifications, and personally, I think it's not going to be that intrusive, considering that most of the bump is underground. I'm really excited about the hardware store, the potential of the hardware store coming in. I think it's something that the whole neighborhood will benefit from. I've been kind of exploring things, and I've noticed that a lot of the commercial spaces in the area, like the mixed residential commercial spaces, they do use their backyards for commercial purposes. And I think that if you allow Mr. Kendall to do the same thing, it will be a big benefit to all of us as far as bringing in that business and bringing in more jobs and whatnot. I'm an artist, so I'm actually really excited about a hardware store being in the neighborhood personally. But yeah, I'm here to support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next member of the public, please. Are there any other members of the public to speak on this item?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, so I'm Julia Ponce, and this is Daniel Ponce. We live in the unit in the building next door to the proposed development, and we're here to continue to oppose the rear yard variance on the grounds that we believe it will significantly impact the access of light and air to our property. What you can see in the photo, we live on the first floor. We own the unit that has the deck. And from the photo, you can see the proposed development would be on the left-hand side of our deck, pretty much all the way up to the edge of our deck. We met with Mr. Kendall on the property a couple of weeks ago, and as he showed, we did all together put up some tape on the wall that indicated the height of his structure. And what you can see is from the ground floor of our deck, if you go to the top of the railing where his deck would be, it's about 8.5 feet above the floor of our deck, which completely covers our entire floor. You can see the window there is our bedroom window. The doors there are sliding glass doors. These are the only windows and doors that we have in the apartment that have access to natural light. So any building or any structure that's going to significantly impede the light that we get to those windows has a significant impact, not only on the outdoor space and the usable space that we have, but also inside, because that is our source of natural light. You can also see in the next photo, we did just kind of generally take a look at what would happen at different points in the day. We just did a look at 4, 5, and 6 p.m. and the shadows that approximately an 8.5-foot structure would create. And you can see that it basically encompasses well over 50% of our deck and blocks our window and blocks our door. Because of this, we continue to oppose the variance. I also want to note that Mr. Kendall continues to say that all of the other buildings in the neighborhood have variances, and therefore he should have one too. We are in no way objecting to any kind of variance. We support commercial development in Noe Valley. We've lived next door to a shoe store for many years. We're great neighbors with them. If Mr. Kendall were to want to build a deck similar in size and structure to ours, we would be all in favor of it. But it's this particular variance, it's the height, it's the scale that is going to significantly impact us on a daily basis. I will say he did mention after his initial email sent out about privacy concerns, I had sent an email back, you know, following up on our discussion live about the concerns we had, not related to privacy, but actually related to the light and air access issue. My husband and I did brainstorm a couple of ideas, which he mentioned we threw out. He responded back and said that none of them were doable. He did not present any other options. We had asked him to think about and also come up with options, and we haven't heard any. So at this point, with no other options, and our belief that this does infringe significantly on our air and light, we ask that you deny this variance.
Thank you. So do you have exposure from your dwelling unit to the front of the street?
Or
are
no.
These are the only windows.
Because there's our unit's in the back, and there's another unit in the front.
Okay. And I would note that under the planning code, you can actually have a fence, a solid fence up to 10 feet tall. That's allowed without the need for a variance or any rear yard modification. So what they're getting the modification for is because it's a structure, because it's going to be commercial space. So that's mm-hmm. what's triggering the modification. But we'll see if the sponsor has any additional thoughts or responses to your comments.
Okay.
Thank you. So any other members of the public? Okay.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Susie Mazel, and today I will be addressing my strong opposition to this proposed modification from a general point of view, as opposed to last month when I spoke about the specifics. We've also heard from Julia today, and I know other neighbors have written to you, Scott, about the negative impact this modification will cause. As Brian has kept reminding us, the justification for this out-of-scale and out-of-code project is that it's for mixed-use space. Mixed-use space doesn't just mean this one building. Much of the neighborhood is mixed-use space, residences and commercial space peacefully coexisting beside each other. Just because this building will be a mixed-use space doesn't mean that it's a free pass for doing whatever you want. Noe Valley is a quiet residential neighborhood with a relatively small and short 5 to 6 block long series of mom-and-pop stores. With very few exceptions, it remains very mom-and-pop, which is what contributes to its charm. Obviously, Brian and Joanna purchased this property in Noe Valley because they, too, were charmed by the neighborhood. They say their extension is in keeping with the building Julia, Dan, and Wayne live in next door. As the photos we looked at last month so clearly demonstrated, their extension is nothing like it. Because of the sheer height, bulk, and mass of this extension, we would need to sacrifice our light, our privacy, our views, as well as our property values, all to, and pardon me for saying, indulge his increased profit. While none of us is opposing this modification request, and while none of us are opposing the modification request are trying to be unreasonable, after carefully reading through the requirements for allowing a rear yard modification, there are three requirements they must fulfill. It also states that all, not some, but all of the criteria must be met. Their request simply and unequivocally does not meet two of the three requirements. It does not meet B, the proposed new or expanding structure will not significantly impede the access of light and air to and views from adjacent properties, and C, the proposed new or expanding structure will not adversely affect the interior block open space formed by the rear yards of adjacent properties. The modification route is a much simpler threshold to have to meet than the variance, and they can't even do that. I also take a moment to remind the developer, who opened his most recent email to us with, and I quote, I hope you can be open to seeing the situation from my perspective, that we've tried, but trying to fit a bus in a bicycle rack won't work. It doesn't fit. It doesn't belong in that type of space. You can try and offer us all these pretty curtains for our windows, but in the end, it's still a bus. Thank you.
Thank you. So at the last hearing, you expressed concerns about privacy, and one of the things that I had asked the project sponsor to do was to look at alternatives, and they have proposed some. One of the things that I specifically mentioned at the last hearing was setting back that rear railing further from the rear building wall to address some of those privacy concerns. Do any of those changes address the concerns that I heard from you at the last hearing?
Not really, because what he came to our meeting with is setting it back, I mean, basically as tall as I am, 5 feet. So that really doesn't do anything. And one of the things that, if you live in Noe Valley, you are sort of neighborly. And so if he sets that back the 5 feet, it still affects Julian Dan's property because of the height of it. So even if I go, yeah, okay, we can finally, you know, let's say he gets it down to a manageable size for us, it's still affecting our neighbors in a way that it would be hard for me to say, yeah, sure, go ahead, but you're, pardon me, you know, messing with them. So
okay. Well, we'll see if the project sponsor has any ideas to resolving that.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? And we are on item number 9, 3820 24th Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal. And if you could specifically address some of the concerns made by the neighbors to the east. I mean, I do have concerns that their only light and air is from the rear windows,
yes,
which are north-facing, so yeah, they're already compromised.
Yeah. I do want to start out, though, that during the entire process and during the 312 notice and during the public notification of the variance, only one person contacted me once, and that was Susie in the final hours of the 312 notice period. I called Julia and Dan on April 1st, and I called every other neighbor on April 1st, and I never offering to meet to discuss the 312 notice and to discuss the variance, and no one responded to me.
Okay. Well,
so Julia and Dan came. They expressed, I should put up the blue tapers, painter's tape. What you don't see from their picture is that at 5 o'clock we met. This is the picture of their deck facing the other way. So as you can see, and here's the neighbor next, Susie's house. As you can see, at 5 o'clock, there's a tall stand of trees to the left of Susie's house. So the shadow at 5 o'clock actually covers about 75% of their deck. My shadow, you can see on this line, and I did this in front of Julia, in front of everybody else. What I did was I stood on the ladder, I held my hand up like this. We could see, and my hand was parallel with that line on where the top of the railing would be, and the shadow cast was an additional 3 feet. So the shadow at 5 o'clock was 3 feet here, and it went about an additional 3 feet that way. I don't consider that significant, especially when during the entire daytime hours, there's no blockage of light. It's only at 5 o'clock when the sun is setting directly in the west behind all our properties. And again, there's stands of trees, as you can see, which is creating the majority of the shadow on that. My last point is, what I try to explain to Julia is, when I bought this lot, I met with planning, I met with Rick, I met with all the planners. What do you want on this lot? We overwhelmingly want retail, and we're going to require you to have 15-foot ceilings. In the summer and fall of 2012, the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission unanimously voted to increase the ceiling height of retail on 24th Street to 15 feet, so that the height of the buildings is 45 feet now. The retailer I'm talking to, Poppenhausen Real Estate, wants 15-foot ceilings throughout the space, and none of it can be below grade. You know, it's ground floor retail. It has to be level, and the space has to be 15 feet high. This was a requirement from the planning department. So the main qualitative difference between our two properties is this extra 5 feet of space. I also want to add, Julia and her condo owners get to enjoy the benefit of their garage. It's an economic benefit to them. I, too, want to enjoy the economic benefit of having a rear yard modification. Mine is retail. They're not going to let me do parking. They want it to do retail, and they want high ceilings. The project didn't fall out of the air. It's, you know, I worked with planning who helped shape the project.
Okay. So, I mean, what I'm looking for, and I mean, did you have anything further to add? Well, you get 10.
I didn't have any other options because the 15-foot ceiling height is required, and the 42-inch railing has to be solid.
Okay. So let's start there. So the 42-inch railing, solid under the building code for fire rating. If you do a fire-rated roof, can you do an open railing or a transparent railing? I'm seeing some heads nod somewhere in the roof.
You can do a 30-inch, when you do a roof deck, technically it has to be away from the property line if it is going to be non-rated on a R2 occupancy, which this is, you know, would have to be back 10 feet for it to be open. The only way that, you know, we could think of this was we could bring it down to 30-inch. 30-inch of a one-hour parapet would satisfy protection to that deck. And then above it, you know, we could
do an open.
Do open rail.
Okay. So, I mean, I think if you could look at some of those options, and so kind of similar to the last hearing, my comment, I'm not going to continue it again. My comments are to look at some changes, I think, particularly with the parapet here, the railing. So, you said that you'd be willing to set it back 5 feet from the rear to address some of the concerns that the neighbor had raised at the last hearing. I'm not hearing from the neighbor that that does anything. Mm-hmm. I think there's some flexibility here to look at some other options at either the 30-inch solid parapet with open above at the property line to try to give some relief to your adjacent property mm-hmm. to the east for those afternoon, evening hours. Setting it back maybe a couple feet from the side property line mm-hmm. if we're not going to be setting it back at the rear, because I've heard from the neighbor that that's not going to address any concerns, so I don't know if that's even worth pursuing.
Yeah.
So maybe just setting it back from the side property line one or both sides.
I wouldn't mind. So I'm happy to do the 30-inch and then the 12-inch open. And I do have a door that comes in 3 feet off the side, so I am happy to set it back 2 feet.
Okay, so I think if I would like you, we're going to close the public hearing today, so we're not going to continue this item again, but I would like you to discuss with the adjacent property owners to the east some of these alternatives of either setting it back 2 feet. I mean, it could be a setback further. I mean, you could reconfigure it's a slider, isn't it?
Well, the rooms, there's a wall in the rooms, and so it would be a little, it would be awkward to set it back a little bit more.
So looking at setting it back 2 feet, doing the 30-inch solid with open above for another mm-hmm. foot, or doing something like that at the property line. So looking at those alternatives, discussing that with your adjacent neighbors. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, would investigate with the Department of Building Inspection just to confirm that you couldn't do a fire-rated roof with an open railing. Things are constantly evolving at Department of Building Inspection. So have that conversation to see if there could be something that is a greater bit of relief. But I do have some concerns about the light there. And I think, you know, you've shown that their existing conditions are already compromised, but I guess further compromising it doesn't seem like the best solution when there are alternatives.
Yes.
Okay.
And then where do we leave it then?
So good question, because Rick Crawford is no longer with the department. Yes. Delvin Washington is his supervisor. So I think probably the best thing to do, actually just wanted all the parties can email me, and I think it's a week suitable time to look at some of these alternatives and mock them up. I mean, well, we have the holiday next week. So let's say the week after the holiday, mm-hmm. By the end of that week, we get some. Hopefully, it's not going to be everything that the neighbors want to the east, but I think we can do something to accommodate them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested modifications subject to changes, and I would like those changes to address the concerns for the property owners at the east and the shadowing on their yard. So it would be a modification to the parapet, either making it open, setting it back, reductions, like you look at those alternatives and discuss them with the neighbors.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So now
item number 10 has been moved to July 24, 2013 variance hearing. So we're moving to item number 11, case number 2013.0155V, 31 Rico Way, rear yard variance sought. sponsor of the project. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is David Armour. I'm a principal with Armour and Vogich Architecture, and I'm here representing 31 Rico Ways rear yard variance application. First, I'm going to do a quick background on the property conditions. On the left side here is the existing site plan. You get a single family residence with there's a deck in the back here. Actually, I'm sorry, there's a sunroom on posts. And then on the right is our proposed site plan, where we are proposing to infill under the existing sunroom. The dotted line here is the required rear yard line. So you can see that a portion of the existing structure extends beyond the required rear yard line. The site conditions, and this ties into our hardship request, is that you've got this kind of trapezoidal-shaped lot. Rico Way is travels along, and then it arcs, and this building sits on the kind of curvature of the street, and there's different property configurations on the front and the back, creating kind of an awkward relationship between the rear yard line, which is parallel to the rear property line, and the geometry of the existing building, which is square to Rico Way in the front. And we actually worked on the adjacent building next door, 27 Rico Way, which had a rear yard variance for kind of similar issues. We actually removed the second story of a sunroom and infilled adjacent to it on the ground story in line, not extending beyond the existing footprint. And in a way, we're kind of following somewhat of the criteria on that project. And I'm going to switch to a 3D drawing that'll maybe better help explain. So on the right side, I'm sorry, on the left side, what we're looking at right here, is a three-dimensional image of the back of the structure. There's this existing two-story staircase that we're proposing to demolish, which was received with great fanfare by the adjacent neighbors. That's sitting, this shaded plane represents the line of the required rear yard. This is the sunroom that we're proposing to infill underneath. This is the stair we're proposing to demolish. And then this diagram represents the massing. This is the proposed massing changes. So we have here the infill under the existing sunroom, which can be done without a variance per established interpretation. And then this shaded area is about a 32 square foot infill that is underneath the existing staircase that kind of squares off the back of the building. And then on the top, there's an extension, balcony extension projecting into the required rear yard. And one of the other aspects about Rico Way is we've been informed by planning staff that Rico Way is considered a likely historic district. Hasn't been officially categorized, but we've worked on several different properties on the street and have run into the same issue. There's this large side yard that is created by the fact that you've got this kind of trapezoidal-shaped lot, and so much more of the existing building is visible from the public way that you wouldn't normally have if the buildings were all all the other buildings on the street are all just zero lot line condition. And so as a result of this likely historic district, we've been informed by planning staff, I'll switch back to the site plan, that this area within the buildable area, since it's so visible from the public way, would not be we would not be able to extend any part of the building into that area because it's so visible. And so we're seeking to simply square off the back of the building, not extend beyond the existing building face, which is this line right here, remove structure that extends beyond that into the required rear yard, which is this kind of eyesore of a staircase. That, like I said, the neighbors were all very enthusiastic about essentially cleaning up the back of this house. It casts a lot of shadows back there, so getting rid of that, and essentially just creating a much more harmonious, you know, rear elevation. So, I think hopefully, it's just a fairly modest request. That's it.
Thank you. So, the rear, one of the reasons you can demolish the rear stairs is because there's a dwelling unit merger, and so those stairs, which were required egress for the top unit, would no longer be required. Is that correct?
That's correct. However, it's also subject to the fact that we're going to be, through the dwelling unit merger, we're also going to be fully sprinkling the building. Otherwise, the second staircase would not be able to be removed. So
okay. The
owners have agreed to fully sprinkle the building in order to facilitate the removal of the stairs. So it's not just about the dwelling unit merger.
Thank you for clarifying that. And so you noted it's an odd-shaped lot, but it is a substantial lot. It's 100-plus feet deep mm-hmm. and 20 to 40 feet wide, but it does have a legislated front setback of 14 feet, so no construction.
Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to bring that up.
And then the potential historic district here, so maintaining the side setbacks. The changes, too, it's going from two to one unit, but the expansion at the ground floor is to accommodate a bedroom, which doesn't exist there currently, right? So you're taking the living room is staying roughly the same size, but it's pushed back further because of the addition of the bedroom, and then the second level is the main living level with the kitchen and living room, and then the sleeping level is the third floor.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, and I think if I know this is simply, I don't know if it's an interpretation that the rear yard line be parallel to the rear property line, the rear yard requirement line versus standard planning code, but it's if the rear yard were simply parallel to the front property line, we wouldn't be having a conversation, I don't think. So the fact that the building isn't square to the back of the property creates kind of a condition that, you know, certainly the owners didn't create, and we're not looking to make the building really any bigger, you know, in net terms, a footprint. So,
okay. Right. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. So, and yes, it is the code requirement that the required rear property line be parallel to the rear property line.
Right.
So that.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks. So is there any comment on this item, Rico Way? It's item number 11. Seeing no comment on this item, I'd close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot conditions, also the potential historic district that results here, and the Section 311 notice is out to notice now. It expires on July 17th, so it just went out 10 days ago, but to date there's been no discretionary review requests filed. And we can go back
to item number 5.
Item number 5, thank you.
Item number 5, case number 2012.0759V, 33 Parent Place and 2526 California Street, rear yard modification variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. And so this morning I received a letter from Mr. Williams, who's representing neighbors who are opposed to the project that had arguments against the project. Did you receive a copy of that?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Can this zoom in somehow?
Yeah, there should be a little thumb wheel on there that allows you.
Good morning. I apologize for being late, and thank you for rescheduling. My name is David Sternberg. I'm the architect for the project. I'm not going to review the drawings. I assume that you've looked at them, and I just wanted to start out by saying we went through a diligent process, very time-consuming. We did everything that we think we were supposed to do. We had an initial project review meeting with planning before we even designed the building. They made suggestions as to their recommendations, which we followed, which entailed pursuing a rear yard variance so that we could do the central yard and have another building fronting on the alley. The initial design that we proposed offered setbacks to honor the front setback, even though we were not required a front setback for the neighboring property to the west, and a setback to honor the neighboring property on California Street to the west. We also offered a setback to honor the eastern property on Perrin Alley, Perrin Place. We submitted plans. The planners reviewed it through the design review. I don't know, I get them mixed up, whether it was UDAT or REDAT.
This probably would have been UDAT.
UDAT.
Yeah. And
they requested major revisions to honor further the neighbors' access to light and air. So we did a major redesign of the building, revising locations of stairs and whatnot, setting back any penthouses from side property lines. Also, in addition, the Perrin Alley building complies with the alley setback requirements. And so the project as designed has been fully vetted by the planning staff to date. In our opinion, The project as proposed more reinforces the block pattern that's already there, and that's my diagram there. And the red is our property, and while the neighbor property to the west, which is on above up on the sheet, does not honor the pattern of the block, my arrows show all the other properties on that block in question that have this pattern. And we also felt, and we think that the planning staff agrees with us. In fact, we had a narrower wall facing Perrin Alley, and they asked for a wider width of the building so that they could have a better building wall or a longer, bigger building wall along Perrin Alley, because there is a predominance of structures and houses on the south side of Perrin, which we feel creates a better community for the alley. I don't know if there's a timer, so I can figure out how much more time I have.
1 minute and 24 seconds, sir.
I have what?
1 minute and 22
okay.
seconds.
The other thing, too, is that we could have done 5 units. We chose only to do 4. So that we could do a modest proposal, have nice units that are more in keeping with that neighborhood. And I also believe, Scott, that you probably have, there's 2 letters of support for the project as well. And I guess just to wind up, I'll be curious to hear the testimony from the person that is appealing or against the project. I know they're talking about the problems with light and air. Quite frankly, actually, I will let them make their comments, and then we can respond to them. Thanks, and I'm here for any other questions or comments. Thanks.
Thank you. Just 2 questions that were raised in Mr. Williams' letter that maybe we could address right off.
Sure.
One was that the building, the subject building, is a residential building, and I don't see any 3-hour report. I don't see any building permits citing that it is a residential building. There's an assessor's record that says 3 units, but it's my understanding that that is units. It's not speaking to residential units or commercial units. It's just number of kind of distinct spaces. The Sanborn map appears to indicate, I think it even says 4C, so 4 commercial spaces. Are you aware of any evidence that this building is residential?
We went through this when we submitted the demo permit because there's different requirements, whether it's residential or commercial, as you well know. We have a 3R report, which we could submit to you. I believe Glenn Cabreros has a copy of that, which solidly establishes that this has always been a commercial use. There's never been a residential use. And I think somebody along the way made a mistake and wrote that down somewhere.
And then another item, you mentioned the alley controls. And so how wide is Perrin Place? Is it 25 feet? I should say on the sandborn there, and it appears, if I'm reading it correctly, that it is 25 feet wide. Is that?
I have to look at the survey.
This should also be on the sandborn. They note the street widths on there. And so I think it's if you flip that a 180 of what's on the overhead now, and look at the bottom near the compass. To the left near the compass, it looks like there's a 25 feet. So the requirement under the code is that you take the street width, multiply it by 1.25, and right. At that height you set back 10 feet, and so that would be 31 feet. And looking at the plans that you have proposed for the rear for Perrin, you do comply with that, it appears. So.
Yeah, again, you know, we went through all that stuff with Glenn Cabreros, and it's been revised.
Setback is actually...
I believe we went further than the requirement at the request of the planners.
11 foot 6 on for half of it, and then 15 feet for the other half.
We had the minimum requirement when we first designed it, and then they asked for a larger setback, and we complied with their requests.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Now we can move on to public comment for this item. Again, we've gone back. This is going to be our last item on the calendar, but it is actually item number 5 for case number 20,012-0759, 33 Perrin Place, 2526 California Street.
You have 3 minutes, Hi. Ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Hi. My name is Corinne Nagata, and I live right next door to the proposed project. Oh, my goodness.
Are you to the east or to the west?
Thank you.
Yeah, we can back it out there. So we won't start your time yet, but are you to the east or to the, you're to the...
So this is the proposed project right here, and I live right here.
West. To the west. Okay.
Yes, I live right here. This is my apartment right here, apartment number 3.
Okay.
And... my family has owned this building since 1965, and so the proposed project, this one-story building going up 4 stories plus a penthouse, is incredibly frightening to me. The plans that I was able to look up looks like that. And I think that's correct, but if you were to live next to that, you would be pretty scared too. I feel like it kind of looks like a cruise ship or something, and I would be like the little sailboat or something. So this is the window that from my apartment number 3 on the 3rd floor. This is the window of my view that I have. This right here is the building right now.
Sorry to interrupt. We'll give you more time for this, too. But this is on the property line?
I'm inside my apartment, and I'm taking the picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're looking over their property.
Yeah. So this building right here, can you see that building right there? That building is the one-story building that they want to propose to go 4 stories plus a penthouse. So that's one of the windows that would be blocked from me. And then there's Aisha, who lives on the bottom floor. She lives in a studio apartment, and this is her window. That's her win. that's her window that would be blocked by the four story. So I'm in her apartment taking the picture. That's her window that would look out to the project, and she's on the first floor. This is my view. So when I walk out and go to my car, the Prius, like, I see lots of, you know, it's open space, and I don't know, like, it's it was very scary to hear that this one single-story building is going to be developed into two four-story buildings with two penthouses. And so that's why I'm here today, to ask you to please not grant the rear yard variance. And I also have a petition from my neighbors. I only started my petition because I didn't know really what to do, so I just talked to my neighbors. So you can have the petition.
You can take your time and give another 10 seconds because I did interrupt you. So
I'm nervous.
So please,
never done
take 10, 15 seconds more
before.
To wrap up.
But so I do have this petition, and I went door to door, and I only started on the 21st of this month, and so I got as many as I could. So there's that. And then also, I just gave you some pictures for you to look at. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you. And so the people who signed the petition, they saw the plans.
I'll show you. This is what I showed them. This is what I had, and I went to the San Francisco Planning Commission website, which I guess some of their plans are up.
Yes.
And so I took a picture of that, and I gave that to them. So do you want this?
Yeah, if I could.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have an extra copy, that'd be great.
Like 500 copies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a pretty color, too.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? Again, we are back on item number 5 for 2526 California Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Claudine Huey, and I live next door in apartment number 2 of the building that's going to be constructed. So I am in the same building as Corinne Nagata. As a tenant, I'm concerned about the size of the building. It's huge. It will be one story higher than every single building on that block, which puts it out of character. And it's right next door to a gas station, which is also a big safety concern. As a tenant, I'm against the granting the variance, and I am concerned about the size of the building because of soil stability and safety issues. It would be a detriment to our house living next door. I understand the Planning Commission granted a similar such variance 15 years ago to a similar building on the same block. With a complex 2 doors down from my house, and it resulted in a huge sinkhole on the property of the Victorian house next door. And the new constructed building, which is going to mirror exactly what this gentleman proposes, actually has part of the building sinking. It's been in litigation for 15 years. The planning department granted a variance, and it has caused problems in soil shifting. And the house next door has a huge sinkhole. So let's roll forward 15 years from then. It's kind of like history repeating itself. If a variance is granted, it is highly possible that the soil instability may cause the house I am living in to shift, rendering it structurally unsound. This would be history repeating itself. And then I, as a renter, would be looking for another place to live. The proposed project is excessive, and you have safety concerns about construction right next to a gas station. The soil is sand. I mean, it's like the kind of sand that you go out to the beach and you're at the beach. Our block has had major problems with sinkholes and soil displacement. And with over 35,000 gallons of fuel stored in underground tanks at the Chevron station, soil displacement of a gas station could be detrimental to public welfare and materially injurious to the property in the vicinity. I'm against the size of the building, as all buildings are only three stories high. And as a tenant, I'm against granting the variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you know the address of the property that you referenced with the sinkhole? That was...
We are 2530... 2540 California Street.
Okay.
And it just recently, they've had four contractors... And the last one just filled it up with 1 million gallons of cement, and we don't even know if that's going to stabilize.
So was there, as part of that project, was there excavation that resulted in this? Or do you know details of the project that was approved?
The project that was approved is almost a mirror, except one story lower, two stories lower, okay, than the current that the current property owner wants to develop.
Okay, but that was at 2540. Okay, 2540 California.
And if you could get somebody to go out there and see it, you could see the jeopardy that it would involve, because it actually has the variance of the space between the two buildings, which caused the displacement of soil, which that property owner did not maintain the integrity of the neighbor's Victorian house. And as a result, it's been 15 years in litigation, and it's still in litigation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public to speak on this item, item number 5?
Hello.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Karen Pearson, and I have lived on Perrine Place since 1992. I live at 2554 California Street. I'm very familiar with the neighborhood, and the neighborhood is a very kid-friendly, neighbor-friendly neighborhood. I oppose the rear yard variance. The first plans that I have seen for the rear yard variance are very different from the plans I saw today. This is misleading and dishonest about the project. Certainly not a good start for the project. This is the first I've heard it's commercial, not residential. And I think the size is way too large. A lot of the neighbors that I know that are have signed the petition are complaining about the light issue. And those are people on Sacramento Street and on Perrine. Okay.
Thank you. So I'm a little confused by the allegations that the plans are dishonest. So that you, what are the discrepancies?
There were different plans. What I saw that Corrine gave me and let me see were very different from the plans I saw today. I think Mr. Williams is going to talk to that.
Okay. So there was an initial project that was proposed, and then the department had them make additional changes. So did you see the plans before the department?
I just saw the plans that Corrine had, and it seemed as though some pages were missing.
Okay, because the plans have been online as part of the hearing process. So are the plans, you're saying that the plan, there's discrepancy between the plans that are online and something else? Okay, I would like to hear more about that. And then it said something about the commercial. You weren't.
Yeah, I was. I thought these were all going to be residential units.
I believe that they are.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to confirm from you.
From the project sponsor, these are. It's all residential in both buildings, correct?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's. I don't think there's any dishonesty there. But we can hear more about if there are issues with the plans or any other public comment.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Steve Williams on behalf of the neighbors. I think the mix-up is that the plans always show the California building and they always show the Perrine building. They never show them together, even those on the website for this hearing.
just to clarify that, so that is because they do require, they're separate buildings, so they require separate permits, and I think that's why they have separate plan sets.
Right, but the neighbors were not, did not get a full plot plan, and they were not aware that it was a lot line to lot line build out, that it's 100% lot coverage, which this is. You have to fold those plans together and stick the rear walls together to figure that out until you see the full plans.
The site plan says references, they cross-reference each other, but I'll let you continue.
Okay. Let me be really clear to start. Both adjacent buildings provide the required rear yard. You've got the Nagata building, which provides 25% rear yard. This is a building immediately west. You've got 23 Perrin, which provides the 15 feet minimum rear yard. So what they're asking for is very different from what's adjacent to it. It's an incredibly ambitious project, nearly 10,000 square feet, apparently covering 75% of the lot, and building something 7,000 to 8,000 square feet was not enough. So 100% of the lot coverage is what's sought here. And no, this is not fit in the pattern anywhere on the block. No other lot has 100% lot coverage the way this does. And in fact, The pattern is actually, there's only two occupied buildings back here, and that's the neighbor at 23 and then another one on down here. The rest of these are small one-story garages. You don't have anybody build out all the way. So the pattern is Victorians in the front without garages and one-story auto entrances on Perrin. That's the pattern. There's no pattern of a complete 100% build-out. So that's the character. That's what's got the neighbors so upset here. The variance application is, I believe, very confusing in that it just says over and over again how it's going to benefit the neighboring buildings. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's actually going to block eight windows, which are, not, by the way, not shown on the plans as they're required to be. They only show these four here in the middle. They don't show all the rest of them. It's going to block eight windows at 23 per in, and on the other side, it's going to block two windows on the Nagata building, the kitchen window back here, and then there's another lower window.
To the side? So, I can't see. It's cut off a bit.
Yeah, it's this way?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So where are the windows again?
Here's the kitchen window that Karim was pointing out, and then the other window is blocked by the building itself. It's on the first floor. But they are set back from the property line, and they're, you know, historic windows that have been there. And obviously putting a 40-foot wall up in front of it is going to block that off. When I looked at section 261.1, what I saw was that when you have a mid-block passageway of less than 30 feet, that the setback starts at 25 feet, not 31.
So a mid-block passageway is different than an alley. Yeah. So
that may have been the confusion there. I think, you know, clearly it doesn't meet the requirements for the variance. It would absolutely be detrimental to the residences around it. It would substantially impact the light, air, and views of both the adjacent residences. I don't think there's any question about that. There's other issues here. It presents a non-active storefront. This is, you know, part of the Upper Fillmore Neighborhood Commercial District. There's that arm that reaches out to grab it. You've got a line of retail shops there, and here they're eliminating a commercial storefront and making it a blank garage with the thing's overparked. It's got six or seven parking spaces. It's just way too large for this.
So that was your time, but I want to give you a little extra time since I interrupted you. I'm curious, what would your client, who's the property to the west, what proposal would they choose to see? A code complying alternative would still block their property line windows.
I'm not sure that it would block that back window. It would come close if a light well were put on it, but this particular project will not only block all of the light to those windows and to the front of the building, it'll block all of the light air views to the rear of the building. And so, you know, it's sort of the worst of both worlds. With you've got proposed 40 feet plus of structure, not only on California, but on Perrin. And, you know, that alley cannot take a 40-foot structure. There's nothing even half that size there now. I mean, it's not even close on this particular block face. And remember, but this is the south side of the alley.
Aaron, I think there are some fairly large buildings that are
on the north side.
Yeah.
On the north side.
But they are on Perrin.
Well, the special rules apply to the south side, and there's a reason for that.
And this complies with those rules.
Well, barely, and I don't think it meets the spirit of those rules.
The setback is greater than what the code requires, so is it barely?
To stand up here and say that this fits the pattern of the block is simply incorrect.
Okay.
There's nothing even close to this on that alley at this time. There's no 10,000-square-foot building.
On the south side.
On anywhere on this block.
Okay. So appreciate those arguments, and we'll see if there's any other public comment. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on item number 5?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I wasn't going to speak, but since I'm listening to all the comments, I manage the building. I'm not the owner of 2540 California Street. Next to the construction at 2548 California Street that has been going on for 15 years and has not been completed yet. I am the property. I am the one who has a sinkhole in that. I'm actually more concerned as to how the city handles everything, more so that this sinkhole was able to happen. All the sand, all the construction of the retaining wall had failed. We just completed the repair on the soil by soil engineer ESR out of Walnut Creek at an expense of $35,000. It's unbelievable that the city can allow this kind of construction to go on and not monitor it.
So when did the sinkhole, I'm sorry if you have more to say, but I do have just questions.
No, that's my main concern here.
Okay.
Is there was no, in fact, this building is not completed now. We cannot, this is a blight on the block. I don't understand how the city can allow this construction or this project to continue, and there's nothing being done on it that is going to complete it within the next 5 years.
So, and this is that's a separate project.
This is a separate
project,
yes,
from what is here.
But the main problem was that the construction of this retaining wall that they had built had failed, and my property wasn't grouted. It should have been. The property next door was supposed to be grouted. I'm hearing now that they may not have done that. I'm talking about soil in the area, basically.
Okay, but that was it's a separate project from what is here, and you know,
yes,
we would.
I'm complaining about what the city does for this, and is the city going to allow this permit to go by and still have the same kind of response?
When did the sinkhole?
4 years ago.
Okay, so the building was constructed. But you said the building was constructed or wasn't?
It's still being constructed. It is 15 years in the making already.
So the and this is at 2540 California. I mean,
2548 California.
2548, okay. Sorry. I had the wrong address.
And my whole thing is, I don't know what city planning does to approve these projects, but they did approve the project next door and allow this excavation, so which had caused...
Do you know how much excavation there was as part of that project?
About 25 feet.
A depth?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't believe this project proposes any excavation. It's going
to
be...
I think they will, because the street level, you have to understand, the street level on California Street...
Current is higher, right?
Yes.
Yes.
A whole story higher.
Yeah, so, but I think that they are, I mean, from the plans, I mean, there may be some minor amounts of excavation, but I don't see on the plans 25 feet of excavation, which... So they were supposed to underpin the adjacent properties and maybe
they did.
On yours, on 2548.
They did. But that didn't stop it from failing.
Okay, and then okay.
Okay. Yes. And I've been in litigation with the property next door for 3 years. Actually 4 years. We just got paid to go ahead and do the repairs. This is not the only thing that is coming about. And what I have not heard yet is a firewall. And I'm not sure how that's going to happen. Okay. I don't know. I'm actually going to probably start another lawsuit.
Okay.
Well, for encroachment.
These are all helpful. I mean, you know, that is another project that is.
Yeah,
different.
I'm hearing about a firewall. Our windows. We have windows that there were at least four windows, all blocked.
Yeah.
We see no more than 3 feet of the next building.
So I think we were getting off track here, but from the project that is before
Project would be also online. Right next to each other.
I think your time is up, but I mean, you know, so we have. You know, I think those are issues to take into consideration about blocking windows. And that's something we can have more of a discussion about. I mean, in terms of the other issues for the project at 2548 California Street,
yes.
I mean, excavation. It's I don't think it's comparable. It's not an apples to apples project. That in terms of enforcement and the building code requirements, that's the purview of the Department of Building Inspection, and I don't have the benefit of the details of, and I'm hearing, you know, arguments, and you have all this history with this project, but I think we should move on and see if there's any other public comment,
right,
and then we can have a rebuttal, but thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment on item number 5? Seeing none, project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal. And maybe if you could address some of the window location information.
Quite honestly, because of the photos and our photos and our reconnaissance at the site, I'm not exactly sure where those windows are located. But again, from our looking at it and from the survey that we have and all that, I believe that those windows, if they're not property line windows, they are 6 inches or so, maybe back from the property line. And also, so I'm not exactly sure where they are, but I don't know how much time I have, but there is this drawing here. This drawing shows the property line wall facing west that would be seen from the rear yard of the neighbor in question, from the western neighbor. And so it's possible that some of these windows might actually open up to the open space that's being provided, but I'm not really sure exactly where they are.
Yeah, I think the photo that we saw of the fourth floor, that... Or your third floor, because it looked like that would might actually line up with their. These are important points to figure out. So I mean, I don't know if you have anything more to add on your rebuttal or.
I do.
Okay, sure.
And you know, as you suggested, if we did a 75% coverage building and provided a rear yard, as would then not require a variance, we would inevitably cover those windows in the same fashion. And actually, it may very well be that this space between may actually benefit those windows in the long run, again, without exactly knowing where they are.
I also wanted to show quickly another photograph. This photograph is from our property looking west. And as you can see, there is a feeling of building walls on the street. Again, not everywhere. And the neighbor right now in question, the western neighbor, parks their cars in their rear yard, which, as one knows, is illegal if they were to build that building today. So I don't know how that works with existing situations. Anybody can just park in their yard, and I don't know if there's any kind of police that stop that. But
Our enforcement is complaint-based, so if we receive a complaint, we would investigate.
Right. But anyway, so I'm not complaining about it. I'm just bringing it up. So that's one picture. The other one. Anyway, it's that lower picture. That's looking really from their property, and then our property is to the right, and then that continues the alley looking east out towards Steiner Street. And again, we feel that this alley, by putting a building in the back, creates more of a community and more of a feel to that alley rather than being nothing but cars parking in garages.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's time, and I did want to give you a little extra time since I interrupted you,
that's
but
fine.
I think we're at time there. I do have some questions. The status of the Section 312 notice, I think it is pending. I mean, it has not been issued yet.
Correct.
And so do you have an estimate on that from staff of the processing time? Were you...
We are planning in the next week or so to submit that to planning, and then I don't know how long they take to process and put it out.
Okay. So, but I'd like to suggest over the next 2 weeks, so given there's a holiday next week, by the end of the week after, if you could meet with the adjacent neighbor and definitively go over the location of those property line windows, and then also ensure that the plans which are submitted for the Section 312 notice accurately depict the location of windows, as Mr. Williams pointed out. That is a requirement that, you know, we do have to have those adjacent windows shown, so when a member of the public is reviewing the plans, they can see how it would impact their property. So
sure,
we could get that clear. I think that that might clear up some things. And then if you would also, maybe to everyone's benefit to mock up just the site plan with a code complying alternative and what that would look like, because
you mean a 75% coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because I would imagine that that would actually have a greater negative impact on the adjacent property to the west, and I think it's important for everyone to kind of know what alternatives there are out there, and if we do something that is code complying, it may not be better for everyone. So I would like that to happen over the next 2 weeks. Hopefully that will resolve some issues. Otherwise, I will close the public hearing today. I will not continue this item. I would like that additional information provided to our department and the results of any discussions that the parties have. I think overall, I do see a pattern here. I don't see any reason outright to deny the request, but I would like to get that clarified, and that will help in my decision-making process. So I'm not decided on it, but I think the more information is needed here before making a final decision. And there will be a 30-day notification period for the Section 312 notice. If there's still concerns about the project, there could be a discretionary review request.
Right.
Also, any decision that I ultimately issue would be appealable to the Board of Appeals. I think, if there would be a DR, we'd probably like to have that issue all resolved before we get to any final decision on the modification itself, just to, in terms of process, if there's no resolution after showing the location of the windows, we can go through the DR process and have the commission's advice and input on the project. So I think that's probably the best use of everyone's time. But probably over the next 2 weeks, kind of information will shed some light on the project one way or another. So again, public hearing is closed. Taking the matter under advisement. And with that, we can go to general public comment. So if there's anyone who has public comment on an item that's not on today's calendar, this will be time for to discuss that. So, no, but I mean, you can discuss with the project sponsor. And I think it's important you and your attorney can meet with the project sponsor, review the plans. I think it's really important to know where the location of all those windows are, and I think that'll help you make a decision about how it really understand how it impacts you. And then also to see what a co-complying option may be, you may find that is actually worse than what they're proposing now. And then, you know, from that point, you can send us an email, Glenn Cabreros, the staff planner, communicate to him kind of the results of the conversations that you guys have. Okay.
So there's
no complaint. You know, I think one of the
okay.
the there's no complaint. So, you know, I can't say whether or not something is legal there. But I think part of the reason for saying that is also it gets to the character of the backyard space, and so it's not as if this project would be impacting a rear yard that is a garden that is your usable open space. You do park your car there. You know, I think it's yeah. So it's not as if it's going to be impacting your backyard where you have residential activity.
Come.
Okay, well, I think we've already kind of closed the public comment. So and if there are questions, we can answer questions. But you know, more comments, you can forward those to staff. All right, thank you all. So I see no general public comment. We will adjourn this meeting and next meet on July 24th for the regular variance hearing. Thank you.